set.
Secure with the Lord. My name's in the book of life. Where's yours?
Better.
No, just kidding.
Are you going to be at the Feast of the Lamb? Let's get into some theology. That might be a nice spice up.
Like some lamb gyro.
That's not some theology. Moon sauce. Okay. I think
theology. I need this maturing.
Did they eat lamb in BC days? Had to, right?
Had to.
Were gyro? Wait a minute.
Whoa.
When were gyros invented? I want to know
when
right now.
When were gyros invented?
Gyros. Oh. Because lamb means happiness.
Siri, when was the lamb gyro?
Stop it. It was before World War
II. Shut up, Siri. Oh, yeah, dude, Siri, stop. Worst assistant I've ever had. Fired, Siri. Gyros, sometimes... Oh man, angelicized as gyro. In some regions, meats cooked vertically, rotisserie, and then sliced, wrapped, stuffed, pita bread, long ingredients. Tzatziki. I could use some tzatziki. Come on, man, give me history. History of the. Yeah. Ooh! What year do you think it was invented?
Before America was founded.
When was America founded?
I have no idea.
We talked about spelling bee last...
Wait a minute.
Yesterday morning.
When was America invented? Not invented. When was it founded? Lewis and Clark? Sacagawea? No, that was the Midwest.
No, bro.
That was
Christopher Columbus. When was America founded?
St. Augustine or Williamsburg, Virginia? First one they touched.
Williamsburg.
And then St. Augustine.
Sure. I don't even know where St. Augustine... is. Oh, wow. We should know this. And I should know this. July 4th, 1776. And the reason that I should have remembered 1776 is every July 4th, for the most part, we go back up to D.C. and hang out with my family, do stuff. And Sheets, gas stations, few in Charlotte. There's one in Salisbury. But as you go further north, Sheets is more and more popular. But 4th of July last year, so like on Christmas, Thanksgiving, they do free coffee. I think that's fantastic. I'm going to burp a lot, by the way, from this Red Bull circulating in my bun belly here. But last July 4th, I couldn't get over the lines at Sheets gas station when I was driving by, getting ready to take a quick trip. What's up with this line, man? I need to get some fuel. Guess what their gas prices were last July 4th?
Free.
Wow, that wouldn't that be the dream? No, it was $1.77 a gallon.
That checks out.
That is fabulous. So, 1776.
So, 1600s for euro?
No, it was actually 1855.
I mean,
Ottoman Empire, whatever that is. So, I'm not a history buff.
What's your Roman Empire?
I don't know, man. I don't got enough bandwidth to start doing a history lesson today.
Do you know what the Roman Empire... Stop it. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
The Roman Empire with, like, Caesar? Pharaoh? Good morning,
somebody
lady.
Somebody says in 2024, what is your Roman Empire? Do you not know what they're asking?
We'll get on it. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Scratch That, your tribute to the old school morning show.
The old school morning shows are our Roman Empire. So here we are.
Yes, our Roman Empire. Getting after it. This morning's going to be a dumpster fire. I'm already calling it, but buckle up because we got some hot takes today.
We're going to start with a possible ban of TikTok and how that's going to affect the music industry. Your thoughts on that?
I'm indifferent right now. For once in my life, I don't have a very strong opinion on something, which I think is the Italian in me. We're very passionate about stuff, speaking of Roman Empire. But no, I don't really have anything on this, but we'll hit some TikTok today. Speaking of history and evolution of life. We'll get into a little Coachella. I learned a lot more about Coachella this week than I ever thought I would know. Got some really cool backstage peeks and previews at John Summit stuff. So we'll talk about that and how, you know, artists flip their own songs for festivals, really what it takes before you either go on tour or have a major festival like that. So we'll just talk some good stuff like that. But so Roman Empire.
I don't know the parameters of Roman Empire.
So, okay. So Roman Empire for me, musically, would be Yellow Card and Something Corporate and Taking Back Sunday. Like, that is, for me, I would think my peak. I love music. Don't get me wrong. I love music. But music has turned into a profession, which for me, it's not the same feelings as I had when I was studying it in college and having those dreams and ambitions of like, God, I really want to be like Yellow Card one day, or I really want to be like Story of the Year one day, or something like that. So for me, I guess my Roman Empire of music is like, I have to have those throwback emo screamo songs in my life. That's what gives me the good feels. Every wedding, when I'm on the way home from a wedding, any gig, it could be a bar gig, club gig, 2 a.m, dude, I'm listening to that. That's my repeat shuffle on the way home, and that's my good feels. Does that work?
I think that works. Yeah, sure.
What's your
Roman? It was a very loose-ended question. I don't.
It is.
I just know people were asking me like, and I'm like people were texting like, "What's your Roman Empire?" And I'm like, I don't even know what this means, but. What do I think about a lot? I mean, I don't know. Thought about getting a dog a lot lately.
Don't do that.
Don't do that?
Don't do it. Look over my shoulder.
Yeah.
Is that what you want in your life right now?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I think about too
she
many
things.
She
does greet you with a lot of love when you come over.
Yeah, you know.
Dancer Joy sitting right behind me.
I think
me.
About making heat, honestly.
Oh, like, you make some heat?
Like music heat for us to put out.
Oh, I love that. I do. I will say...
I my Roman Empire is like me thinking about people playing our music in their car.
What's the correlation though between that statement and what it is? Like Roman Empire, what do you think about?
I don't think we're gonna
move. We can't crack that code.
We're gonna move on. Yeah, because okay. We're gonna do some TikTok research.
Oh yeah, dude, let's tap into that
after
real quick.
The show.
TikTok ban. We were talking about that a little bit ago, and how detrimental. I don't want to get into the political aspect of it. I want to save us from getting canceled. You and I sit on a similar spectrum of political views to a degree. I will open up and say I'm probably a bit more liberal than you are. But we generally sit on the same page of politics. And with that being removed from this conversation, thinking of it purely as a professional platform, how detrimental to the music game is it going to be?
I mean, I don't think it's going to be detrimental. And the only reason I say that is because so many people get found through content creation. Like I can think of two artists right now found through TikTok, which is Benson Boone, Forrest Frank, like guys that are like getting millions of streams on Spotify that I just hadn't heard of until I saw either on Instagram or TikTok, which I really feel like is just the same thing at this point. And so yeah. Even with Zach Bryan, like he's finding people to do covers and come sing with him on his revival tour. And it just like Benson Boone said, you know, he was going to go and watch a bunch of TikTok videos from his recent concert. And like people use it so much to gain notoriety in music that I think there are positives to it. I understand why the ban would be good for a lot of different things, but from a musical standpoint, I think it's going to be hurtful because I'm finding people that I would never have found on Spotify or Apple before. So I don't know. I feel like I'm not for TikTok, but I am for people getting found through their music.
Okay. All right. I have a take similar to yours, but here's more of an open poll, and I'm only going to poll one person. How much impact do you think or how much do you think the notoriety behind TikTok is the music versus the actual video content? In my opinion, and to preface the question, a lot of the dances and the moves are all the same. It's just girls doing the same four moves with lackluster emphasis on their, and like thinking that they're cool. And then they repost it to their Instagram. The music, in my opinion, is the driver of TikTok. Like, TikTok wouldn't be SH if it wasn't for the music behind it. Dude, our master song on TikTok, the coolest moment I've had, I'll still talk about this, is when you sent me that first, like, repost of our song on TikTok. I think music is the driver of TikTok.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I couldn't agree more.
They have a whole freaking SiriusXM channel after that.
And the thing that's so cool for musicians is, like, they could post a video, like, for example, and it get 500,000 views. And then somebody uses their audio, and that video gets 3 million views. Well, guess what? They just got 3 million new viewers to their music.
Very true.
And so I'm just a number. I'm just a logical thinker of, like, okay, like, people that are using their audio are just bringing light to the musician through content creation. And so I just think that it's a positive for the artist. And
100%.
That at the end of the day, you want people to find your music.
You don't get that on Snapchat.
No.
The music regulations on Instagram have changed so much, too, that it's like a lot of the times if you want a really good song to post on Instagram.
And you know what
Instagram
a popular
reel,
thing on TikTok now is, like, people will do these videos and they'll be like, check out fourth video under this audio. So it's like a hidden treasure chest. Like, you click on the audio, you go to the archive. They usually have it sorted by popular views.
Right.
And then, like, I'll go on the fourth and be like, oh, that's the girl from the video that was talking about fourth under the, like, it's just this whole process to, I don't know, like, not
unlock the treasure trove, bro.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I got mixed views. I remember when Instagram was so cool and you could find any song, Drake, Jay-Z, whatever on there, throw up your cool video. Dude, a lot of times I got to go to TikTok if I want like a specific song. And then my TikTok account literally has like three videos on it and I only think they're posted. I only use TikTok to make my videos for Instagram. And that's, I'm probably hurting myself. I should probably have a TikTok. But I'm too old to have a TikTok because next week, scratch that.
Oh, no.
Next week is our birthday week.
How old are you going to be?
High five. I'm going to be the big 3-9. I know. Just start calling me dad. Daddy.
I had a very old moment for me this week, actually.
Oh, well, hold on. How old are you going to be?
31.
Woo! He grew up, ladies and gentlemen. He might have a beard. But we're still 12.
I had two. Well, one was, I've had a few old moments this week where I was at a concert this past week and there was a guy hanging out with us who was a freshman on the golf team in South Carolina. I played golf in South Carolina. Glory days, some of the best days ever.
Amen.
But I was telling him, I'm like, yo, 13 years ago, I was a freshman on the golf team, and it hit me like a ton
of
bricks.
I just had, when we were talking Roman Empire, it literally hit me. I was like, oh, my God, story of the year, Nintendo Fusion Tour, 20 years ago. And I'm like, oh, baby, that hurts so much. But, yeah, man, well, happy early birthday.
Yeah, happy early birthday to you, too.
Thank you. May the 4th be with me. Ugh. Oof. I didn't, dude, it took me way too many memes to finally sit down and watch one Star Wars movie. But I do appreciate the memes. And you know what happens to fall basically in the same time frame as our birthdays?
Well, mine always falls on Mother's Day weekend. Yours falls close to Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo, but big festival.
Also true.
Coachella. Which, you know, like, let's pivot into that real quick. What was your first festival?
To be honest with you, I've never hit the big festivals. They've always been, like, local stuff, so I'm not the right person to ask. I didn't go to festivals growing up or in college because I was busy with golf. I've never even been to, like, Coachella, Stagecoach, so.
Next year, my big 4-0. You and I?
Coachella?
We're going to be potting from Coachella.
We might be playing.
James Kennedy.
Am I not allowed to dream big?
You could dream big. You could dream big, but you know who's number one?
I'm
going to
make a super petty video of me playing and not tag you.
James is number one in the group now, apparently. No, we'll be playing Coachella next year. If all else fails, we'll be potting from Coachella. Sorry, we'll be morning showing from Coachella next year. My first festival, I was 16 years old, and I went to Cornerstone Festival. It's a Christian music festival, a lot of hardcore. I was really big into hardcore and metal, but it's like a 3 or 4 day festival in like Illinois or Indiana. I can't really remember, but dude, it was on an old pig farm. It was wild. I mean, it had been years since the pigs were there, but dude, it was cool. I, at the festival alone, I think that was like the first time I made out with a chick, actually. So that was new. And how about this? I found myself. I found myself in so many different ways. I found myself as an individual. It was the first time I was really away from my parents for multiple days. So I discovered a lot about myself. Musically, drive and ambition, what I wanted to do when I grew up, which was be on that stage. I found myself as a person. I colored my hair that week, and I got my ears pierced for the first time, all within like 4 days. It was discovery.
That seems very overwhelming.
Bro, I went all night. Yes, it was a Christian festival, but come on, man. Festivals are festivals. You still find ways of getting into stuff anywhere you go. But, dude, I found myself, and I knew from that point on, I was like, I want to be a festival guy. And it wasn't because of like the stereotypes behind it. It was like, I get the liberation when people go. Like, there's a certain wedding planner in town who is awesome, and I loved working with her. But, dude, she's showing me some of her festival outfits. She takes her daughter with her. Like, they are in, like, unitards or leotards, whatever those things are, with, like, big butterfly wings and glitter and sparkles. All the crazy-ish, dude. Like,
do you see what, you know, Alex Earl is?
No.
I'm not sure if she's married or just dates a player for the Dolphins, but she's a big content creator, very famous on social media. And she was at Ultra, and because she lives there, because she dates a Dolphins player. And she was talking about how liberating and how nice
it is,
and how much like under the radar it really is.
It is. You know, 90% of the people that go to festivals are there to fall in love. Fall in love with the experience, fall in love with themselves, fall in love with like that deeper musical spiritual connection that you get. And I don't mean like spiritual as in like God or higher power, stuff like that, but like that when you say you have that spiritual connection to music, I understand that, and it's so true. And man, and then there's the 10% of the D-bags that go to either just try to get laid or sell drugs, or you know, that stuff that we talked about in that one episode where it's like, you know, people think, you know, if you go to festivals you're broke, you just do drugs. That's not true, man. Like, yes, there's always going to be a 10% crowd everywhere you go that's just bad people, no matter where the situation is. But man, Coachella has really shifted, and I want to scratch that and move on to this. I got a clip that I want to play. I didn't realize the evolution of Coachella, which I will say is, there are some big ones, Lollapalooza, Bonnaroo, Ultra's big, EDC. Yeah, so there are some big ones. I will still say Coachella, agnostically speaking, is, if agnostically is a word. I got the phone, so don't fact check me. I think Coachella's the biggest. I think it's the most diverse. It brings out the biggest celebrities, biggest performers. I don't get me wrong, Ultra's huge. All those other ones are huge. But like, I want to play this clip real quick from Coachella because I think it's just so eye-opening about multiple things, the good and the bad.
The Roman Empire Club.
Skip.
Or Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
1,000%.
I will agree with all of it. What's your take?
I mean, I've never been or looked at going before, but I mean, if Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are there, I mean, you have to assume that it is a lot of people are going.
I will agree with the one statement of yes. Okay, dude, I can't tell you the number. I forgot what it was. Do you know how many people? Was it 750,000?
I think so.
That's awesome. That's awesome that you could get that many music lovers together. But yes, and I know a couple influencers personally who go out to it, and I see their experience. And yes, you have to have the VIP for everything. I will say that it has it's like the Super Bowl of festivals, where it has evolved into an elitist type of experience to a degree. Which, look, when you have celebrities and that may want to go, you got to create that experience for them because that's what they're used to. But at the end of the day, if you want to come to my house and listen to my music, you're going to have to listen to it on the organic terms in which it was created for. So I get the old school. Like Woodstock 69 versus Woodstock 99, two different worlds. And it lost a lot in between. It lost the spirit of the festival. I think these festivals have to evolve. At the end of the day, why are you putting on a festival? And I know the answer. What do you think?
I mean, you're going to bring in big acts, make money.
Make money. It's the only reason anyone does anything these days. Make money, except for this. The morning show, I don't give a damn if we ever make a dollar from this because I love this so much. But this is very different than Coachella. And I think that I get it. It's a business. You have to make money. I think going to 6 days, it is still pretty much in a semi-remote area. Yes, it's close to, you know, Palm Springs and some other stuff like that. But you know what's going to happen if you live there. Get the hell out. If you know
you
it's going to be
your
go
place
vacation.
Out to make money.
Dude, exactly. Like I was telling you about
like the Masters.
My buddy Brad in Miami, right? I showed you from his balcony. He's got Ultra Music Festival in his backyard. And he isn't bitch about it. He's very much embracing it. He live streams it. Sorry to call him out on that. But, like, if you don't like it, leave. You know? But I do think that, like, maybe making it more of an inclusive experience. If Leo wants to go out there and hang out with the regs, do it. You know? I don't know. I get it. But I think that they have really tailored this to be maybe a little extra. So... But what I found fascinating though was we were talking earlier about the backstage episodes of Coachella with John Summit, and we watched that clip, and I won't play it for time's sake, but you know it's really showing his preparation that he did in LA, and like a lot of big artists, you know, even local in Charlotte, when Elevation tours, they rent out a giant warehouse for a couple of weeks. Set up all the staging, the lighting, the production, everything, and you run through it until you know it like the back of your hand, until you wake up sleeping Facts. And dreaming it. To watch what John Summit did to set up for this show.
That's the one thing I do. Well, one of the things I like about festivals is how much the artists get up for it.
Yes.
Like they're
nervous again.
They're editing their own originals.
Yep.
Like they very much get up for it. I mean, and so, yeah, I think that it brings out a lot of their creativity and hard work.
Yes.
And it's something that they love to do. Most of them, not all of them.
Yeah. But you got to think for Summit, like he's going out there and he's shutting down Coachella. And so you got to have a big set. You have got to have a big production. And to listen to them talk about it in their trailer and work on it in the warehouse and understand the amount of work that goes into that. He's not up there just hitting play. Yes, a lot of it has to be pre-programmed because one of the things that he said in that video is if you get them at the intro, they're never going to want to leave. And that is so true. It's like the way you come out, you have to set that tone. But not only do you have to set that tone, you have to raise the bar every 5 minutes to get that euphoric that musical spiritual connection that I was talking about earlier. You want them to have that. And this is the hard thing about pushing the envelope. Every year, every act, everything that you do has to be bigger and better. And not only that, but he's doing everything. Is it Everything Always?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, with Dom Dalla. And it's like, I wouldn't call that a distraction, but that can be distracting from why you're there, why you were invited to be on stage. And so I think it's fascinating. I think it's a lot that goes into it. I remember when Donnie was planning Good Looks. Oh, man, the daily conversations we would have about that, from everything from marketing to stage to a big acts falling off to having to pick up new acts to stuff like that. Like, it's a lot to put on a festival. You wanna do them with me?
I mean, I haven't done a big one, I don't think.
You wanna produce a festival? You look like a festival producer the way you're dressed today, actually. I see you running around with like a little CB radio attached to your shirt.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I like being
taking
like
ass
a,
and taking names.
Like a director of ops type guy, like a behind the scenes make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I've had the encounter of meeting and knowing and DJing with Adam Lin, who puts on Breakaway. Really cool guy. He invited me to DJ one day to kind of kick off the party. And that was a lot of fun to hang out and work with him. But he also brought me backstage for Cheat Codes and Zed and all that with Hannah. And just to see, you know, he spent 5 minutes with me backstage, which was awesome. I appreciate that. But man, it's as much as, and, you know, Hannah being in events, as much as you are planned out to have things run, it, when you're dealing with tens, hundreds of thousands of people, you got to be prepared for the pivot. And it always happens. So, you know, tip of the cap to those guys that pull that off. But honestly, deep down inside, I'd want to run a festival. I'd love to throw a festival.
I think it'd be a lot of fun, honestly.
What would you call it?
Whew, scratch that. That's a terrible festival name.
It's not the worst.
I'd have to think of it.
Yeah?
I'd have to think of it.
Yeah. Who would you get to headline?
I'm a multi-genre guy, so I would have some of my boys in country music. I might hit up some 90s guys like Ja Rule.
He needs money.
But I would have, it would be like, you know, your
Ja Rule would say yes to anything.
You know, like
Ja Rule would say
yes to
Blind
Pig. You know, like your Spotify
Pidge.
Wrapped, how it produces like a fake festival and what you listen to?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be everybody from All American Rejects to new country artists that I like to, you know, John Summit. It would be all encompassing.
You just gave me.
Actually, I don't mean to sound like braggadocious, but it seems like it'd be like Coachella.
I like that. So you gave me. No.
Or Lollapalooza. Lollapalooza, because the thing about like I like about Lollapalooza is like you got Fred again, Blink 182, 1975 band. Like it's just everybody all across the board, and I really have always been a fan of that.
So I'm going to tap on a subject that I hope it doesn't trigger anyone, and we'll kind of wrap with this, because I like this rabbit hole that we're going into, and I don't mean to bring this person up to talk about him in a positive light. He's a piece of trash and should remain that way, but have you heard of Randall Emmett?
Nope.
Okay, so he was with Lala Kent from Vanderpump Rules. But Randall was really good. Like he is a movie executive, and what he would do is he would take Bruce Willis and like Jason Statham. So those guys that like were really big and making 10 plus mil a flick when they cooled off and got older, he would pay them like $1 million, $2 million for like another no name action film. But he would pump out a dozen of those a year. And you know, it's all about the margins. He made the McValue menu of movies, and so he did a really great job with that piece of trash. What I'm thinking is taking his similar concept, and what if you took some of those nostalgic Roman Empire performers, like what just happened this last year, Story of the Year and Yellow Card toured. Donnie went to it, told me it wasn't a very packed house, but it was still a great show. Like it drew. But it wasn't going to draw the same as if, like, Billie Eilish came to town. What if you threw a festival like that, where you got Yellow Card, Story of the Year, some of your older country acts, some of your older EDM acts that wouldn't be there? I don't know. Maybe that's a bad idea because, again, what I said is to make money would you make a lot of money if you did a Roman Empire festival, an agnostic Roman Empire festival? Oh, and just called it Roman Empire Fest.
I mean, I don't know if you wouldn't maximize profits, but probably wouldn't. At the end of the day, you got to do something that you're passionate about. So if you think...
Oh, you said Ja Rule. If anyone can come back from the dead, yeah, baby.
I mean, I would have everybody there. Honestly, I would have the new people and the old people.
Okay. Old people day one, new people day two?
No, it's a mixed bag. It's followed, like, Ja Rule goes, Billie Eilish goes, 1975 band goes.
Wow.
Fall Out Boy goes, John Summit goes, Calvin. You know, like, it's just, I'm a big, like, you don't know what to expect. If you lay out day one, day two, you're not going to get people to come on day one because they want to see day two. It's all about getting people to come each and every day and not, like...
This is why I'm in business with you. This is why you're my business partner.
Well, I mean, you just got to think about it, right? You take my brain vomit and you make it sensible. You're splitting all the ticket buyers into two camps, 50-50, versus you... It's like when you watch a Dude Perfect show, a video on YouTube. They don't actually get to the climax till like 15 minutes in the video. They want you to watch the first 14. So you can't just choose day one or day two. You got to have their favorite artist day one and their second favorite artist day two. So they're coming to both concessions, the whole nine yards.
Okay. I get that. Dude, this is definitely something to think about. Like, I could see you being a director of operations for...
You got to be, might I dare say, mastermind.
Yeah. I think we should bring the tripod together and definitely do something like this. You, Hannah, myself.
I do think it would be a lot of fun.
I would work A&R. You could be director of operations, and Hannah is the designer. We could make this happen.
Yeah. Charlotte's a poppin' place. Got the Lovin' on Life Festival.
Love and Life.
Love and Life Festival.
Love and Life.
Great, great lineup they have.
Yo, blown away. Donnie told me he got tickets to that. And
we'll talk about it on the next morning
show. Yeah, let's do that. Let's not drag this one out. But yeah, and High Tide isn't too far away either.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I know that there's some groups taking years off from the festival, but I think that there's still a lot of good ones. And, you know, heard a really tasty comment before we started here that nightclubs are dying and festivals are rising. I know that's true in the UK. I don't know if it's so much so here. Charlotte doesn't have a huge quote-unquote nightclub presence. But I definitely see the festival scene. I'd much rather go to a festival every other month than go out to a club every weekend.
Yeah, I would say that's it's about on par.
Yeah.
And with that,
well,
Scratch that.
So, Willie... Man,
keep it real, keep it safe, keep it real safe.
Oh, wow, you took my catch line.
I did, thank you.
Well, from that and Will and I, thanks for listening, everyone. Man, if you're an artist, a producer, anyone out there, hit us up, send us an email, drop us a DM on social. We'd love to have you on here. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back soon.
Peace out.
Yeah, I can't say my catch line. Thank you.